This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I didn't shed a tear in a strange sort of way until we just walked out here, and I guess it's just because you go on autopilot, but there were people just 10, 15 feet from us that didn't leave.
Light amidst the dark, hope in times of terrible grief. The same is true of the national spirit of compassion that shines through our country in the moments when it is needed most. Whether it's lining up to donate blood or signing up to volunteer their time, our fellow Americans are always there to offer what they can when others are in need.
And line up they did for hours to give blood in Las Vegas after this mind-numbing, horrific mass shooting that killed 59 people and wounded 500 plus others. Shocking. And you heard Mitch McConnell there, like many of the other politicians, talking about, you know, we need a moment of national mourning and prayer, and how people line up when something like this happens. And like I said, they certainly did, and tried to help people in the moment when they were bleeding out, laying on the ground, all because they happened to go to a country concert where a sick, twisted madman was using them as target practice from a hotel room in the Mandalay Bay, where he had the perfect, perfect sight to hit as many people as he could. So the Vegas shooter had 42 guns, 23 in his hotel room, 19 in his house. He showed up to the Mandalay Bay, had a hotel room there on Thursday, and then opened fire when that concert was going on Sunday night, just after 10 o'clock on Sunday. The Route 91 Harvest Festival was called, and it was interrupted by that firecracker sound, the sound of gunfire. And here we are in America Tonight, and that's where we begin. And for me, it is a really tough one, because I lived in Vegas, really felt like I was part of the community. When I was there, the people were fabulous to me. And I know people that have lived there for a very, very long time, some of them guests on the show, and they can barely speak. They're in such shock. So police say the gunman fired on the crowd of the 22,000 from that 32nd floor of the hotel I just told you about, Mandalay Bay. And Jason Aldean, the country singer, was performing when the shots rang out. The gunshots lasted for 10 to 15 minutes. It just didn't stop. It kept going, going, going. The shooter was 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Mesquite, Nevada. He was alive when they first made contact with him after taking gunfire from him. Police backed off and waited for SWAT to respond. There was a security guard that had been shot in the leg. Police say when they breached the hotel room where he was, they found him dead, self-inflicted. They believe he acted alone. What they know about him is really very little, but nothing that stands out. He was a retired accountant. He was divorced, no children. They had a search warrant at his home on Monday morning. They found those other firearms that I mentioned, explosives, thousands of rounds of ammunition, some electronic devices. They've got another property in northern Nevada that he owned. They're going to search that. There were several pounds of ammonium nitrate, a material that, of course, could be used for explosives, 23 weapons in the hotel room. And his brother was interviewed and said it was like an asteroid fell out of the sky. He said the last time he talked to his brother, they were texting. He was asking about how their mother was, and asking if they had power after the storm. So very little known here, and that's what people are trying to figure out, what would have caused this to happen. The fear is that the death toll is going to rise because there's hundreds still in the hospital. So people are donating blood. Like I said, they're lining up all over the place. Throngs of donors have lined up and lined up and lined up. They had to send some home because they couldn't take any more. It is the deadliest shooting in modern U.S. history. Remember, we had the nightclub shooting in Orlando. That was the deadliest before this, with 49 people killed, and sadly that benchmark is eclipsed, and here it is in Las Vegas. So victims include a police records tech, a special education teacher, a school office manager. And the hospital's just overrun with people. No connection to a terrorist group. The FBI has absolutely determined that. And as much as they can piece together, they are piecing it all together. The reaction, of course, is what you would expect. The shock of it and wishing the best for the families and trying to deal with this and saying, you know, they're sending out thoughts and prayers and all of that. The president and his wife, the first lady, Melania Trump, had a moment of silence for Las Vegas from the White House on Monday afternoon. The Orlando Police Department, they investigated, of course, the horrific nightclub shooting. They had a lot of problems for the first responders in dealing with what they saw. They tweeted condolences to the people affected by it. The Nevada governor, Brian Sandoval, signed a declaration of emergency for Clark County that allows state agencies to supplement local efforts. And they say that, you know, there's no other credible threats involving public venues, just that security could increase. But how could this have been stopped? How would anyone have known that? You always come back to that same, question is, what could have been done? What could have been done? And the answer is, how would they know a lunatic is up in a hotel room getting ready to open fire at a country music festival? And the answer is they wouldn't know. For the concertgoers who are scrambling and trying to just get to safety, the ones who survived it say it was just as though it was going on and on and on and on and on and on, and there was no break. And, of course, there was no break because of the amount of weapons he had and how he was, you know, how he was shooting them off. And I'll tell you, it's the victims. It's so sad to hear about the victims. I always say this. Too often we don't know about the victims, and the emphasis is on the perpetrator, the lunatic, the nutball, the whatever. And they, you know, they had this sad picture I saw when I was just getting word of this, Sonny Melton, who was a registered nurse, shot and killed in the mass shooting. And his wife was an orthopedic surgeon. She survived. So they were at the concert together. He was trying to help her and save her life. So he grabbed her, started running, and he got shot in the back. And she's, you know, she can barely talk, but she, and they're so young, but she said she wanted people to know what a great guy he was. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And they just happened to be at this concert. Wow, what a tragedy. Stay with us. More coming your way next on America Tonight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation. patient analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love.
So appropriate right now, let me tell you. Kate Delaney, America tonight. Sadly, we're talking about the city I lived in, Las Vegas, and what happened on Sunday? So many innocent people losing their, you know, losing their lives. And I always say this, it's about the victims. It's so sad for those families. And all of us know, I mean, life is filled with so many curveballs. You don't know what's going to happen. But for goodness sake, that certainly is one that none of us want to experience or get any kind of phone calls about. And a lot of people are getting those phone calls and received those phone calls. Let's go out to Izzy, our pal, listening in Missouri. Hi, Izzy.
Hi, Kate. What does one say? Yikes.
What does one say? I mean, you're a mother, you know. Can you imagine getting that phone call?
No.
I see these beautiful faces, and it makes me
no.
sick.
I viewed a lot of the faces, and it's just beyond sad. But I have to say about the guns you were talking about earlier, what he had in his room, according to everything I've read, and I've read probably 3 dozen reports, 223s, which is your typical AR-15, and he had one of the big kahunas, a 308, which is a long-range bullet.
Mm.
And let me say this, I can't wrap my head around the fact this is a lone gunman, because you're talking about rapid fire. Most guns today hold maybe at max a 30-round magazine, unless they're military. Because if you're saying shooting off 600 rounds a minute, that has to be belt-fed. There's no way around it. So
you think there may be someone else. They just don't know yet.
Well, he was in one bedroom. They showed a picture of the suite that he was in. Mm. And he went from one suite, had to go around a corner, the living room. There was a bar, a dining room area, and on the other side was the other bedroom. So he went clear across the distance, and it looks to be a fair distance, from one window to another, shooting, allegedly, by himself. And I listened to the rat-a-tat-tat. And it didn't sound like he had belt fed. Well, he couldn't have belt fed. He would have to know how to use it. And this is what is also on my mind. Where did he learn to use these weapons? You don't just go out and start shooting a .308. You just don't do it.
Right, and somebody had to taught him, you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't just go out and start shooting a Nitro Express. Mm-hmm. And I actually owned one, and it's one of the most powerful weapons on earth as far as hunting goes. Don't ask me why I bought it. It was a thing I went through years ago. But I'll tell you what, and had I not had people with me, I wouldn't have dared shoot that because the kick on it will put you back about a half a mile for a slight female. That's what I'm saying. If he was not trained, there's no way he could have pulled this off by himself. No way. And the other thought that came to my mind, too, was you don't just nut up and start killing dozens and dozens of people. Scopolamine was found in 3 of the last mass murderers in this country. Yes, ma'am, it was.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, so if we peel back the onion, I do agree with you. If we peel back the onion, I think there is more there because I keep saying, what is the why? What are some of the factors?
Well,
what don't we know? Yeah.
This average man, supposedly, an accountant, a multimillionaire, and he has a house full of explosives and everything to make bombs with. And you're telling me this guy never showed any signs in... Something's not right with this picture. It just isn't. Because I've had a lot of guns in my lifetime, but I didn't go around collecting 50 or so guns. I've had 10 or 12, whatever I've had, a couple rifles, a couple shotguns, mostly pistols. But that was back when I was in law enforcement, and I shot a lot. But this guy, he's 64 years old, and all at once he has all these guns, and then get him into that hotel, 23 guns?
Yeah.
How many suitcases did he carry in and no one got suspicious? Because all of those weapons can be broken down. So no one got suspicious, and nobody said, of the cleaning staff, said they found anything in that suite. How do you hide 23 guns in a suite with maids coming and going?
You'd have to keep them out, that's for sure. You would have to not
Well, evidently they were in there, according to the reports. They did go in there for clean towels or whatever the heck they did, and there was no indication. I can't wrap my head around that he did this all by himself with what guns he had. At best, he had a 30 magazine round for the .308, unless somebody taught him about how to belt feed a .308.
Yeah, I agree with that. Somebody would have told him there. Yeah.
Well, he would have had to practice.
Right.
And not to mention, after so many rounds, you know how hard a barrel of a gun gets?
When you're doing that, yes.
Really,
but that's what set off. Remember, that's what set off that fire alarm too. So yeah. Ugh.
But no, I just think there's more than meets the eye, and by God, you know all those analphabetic cretins on the left are using this now, and I find that so tragic. I mean, come on. This guy wasn't even a Trump supporter. Allegedly, he was anti-Trump. And now all at once, well, all these people suffering, by the way, more have died.
Yeah.
So the death rate has gone up from 58. I was reading the latest.
So,
But, you know, that's
so sad.
Still, I mean, all those people down there, the horror of it. And I've been under gunfire. Some of my buddies and I were talking about it today. And it's like, oh, hell no. You know, those people were like sitting ducks, shooting fish in a barrel. And this is what I don't get. How did this man reach a point to where he knew where to hit that would cause the most damage?
Yeah, and he knew, because that's exactly what he did.
I don't think he knew by himself.
Yeah, you think he had help, and we just didn't
know
it. I
honestly to God do, because all this took planning. This took a lot of planning. The amount of guns
coated
in.
Yeah, I think it took planning. I agree. It took planning.
So that's all I have to say about it, and I have a lot of prayers going out for those family members and victims, because, oh, my God, I cannot imagine having been there. I don't go to crowds like that, though, but getting that phone call, as you said, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably fall over dead at my age, yeah. I mean, can you imagine that horror? And then the men that died protecting their girlfriends or spouses. Can you imagine the guilt that
the guilt
survivor will feel? I just psychologically, this is like, you're screwed.
I know. I know. That's exactly what I said to someone today. You are. I mean, what can you do? You have to get help. You have to figure it out. It's awful. It is just awful. Awful, awful, awful. Izzy, thanks for sharing.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Rough. As she said, she understands, and she understands as somebody who worked as a police officer, she understands firearms, as we've talked about before with her, and it is very strange, and that's what people keep wondering and doubting. That's what they keep asking is, you know, how is this possible? How was there nobody else involved in this? I mean, from the point of view of him doing what he did. But just in grappling with looking at the victims and looking at what they tried to do for each other and people who helped other people and went back in and risked their lives. And I mean, that just, boy, the humanity of that, the other side of the story is something to behold. That is absolutely for certain. A perfect time to complete the Lynn Twist cycle. She's somebody who is a very soulful person, easy for me to say, and has been on the show with us, and she is Forbes Books at Bedtime. We talked to her last week, and she was so good, we had more to talk to her about. So you don't want to miss that. That's coming up next here on America Tonight.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you, and you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now, and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're back with Lynn Twist. So much to get to with Lynn. We've been talking about the breadth of her work and what actually is happening, whether it's with the rainforest or talking about Mother Teresa or whether we're talking about just the business of money.
And Kate, the title of Lynn's book is The Soul of Money, Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Life. Lynn, welcome back to Forbes Books at Bedtime.
We really will not get through this economic crisis, even though we get through it or we sort of resolve it by more borrowing, by more debt, until we learn to live within our ecological means as a human community. That will resolve the economic crisis. And that, once again, made this point about money that I make in the book, that if money is the be-all, end-all, we lose our way. But if we see the larger mission of our lives, of our companies, of our work, of our businesses, and money is a route or a tool or the fuel to get us there, then we don't abuse the ecological resources that we have, but we see them as the foundation of the economy rather than something that we're using to make the economy work. And so that point was relevant to this time in history, particularly given the confrontation with global warming and the economic debt. To put those two things together, I think, is really important, and there are not a lot of people doing that.
Yeah, what's your biggest fear, Lynn, if we don't do that, if we don't put that together? What's your biggest fear for the world?
Well, because our ecological crisis is so much more severe than we're willing to confront, the economic crisis will match that and continues to match it. There's a phrase I use, the real work of our time might be to hospice the death of the old structures and systems that no longer serve us. And there's plenty of those. And they are dying. And when when those structures and systems that no longer serve us, that are out of date, begin to disintegrate, if they're hospice rather than destroyed, they'll die faster, while we midwife the new structures and systems that will serve us, that are more consistent with a sustainable, socially just, equitable way of living. And so this hospice and midwife work, I think, is the real work of our time. Letting go of some of these structures and systems that we now know are based in scarcity rather than the sufficiency of the resources that we want to protect and preserve. Systems like our democracy now being hijacked by money and concentrated pools of money and power. Yeah, I think we all know that the democratic system really does work when our elected representatives listen to the voice of the people. But we saw in the last few elections that it's really politicians have to raise so much money, they're beholden to so many financial interests that they can't really represent the people. They represent the money. So there's structures like that one that are no longer viable. Are some of our subsidies for the fossil fuel industry, for example, you know, they're probably a little bit out of date, but it's very difficult to let go of some of these structures and systems in our economic systems that really no longer make sense. But if we hospice their natural death while we midwife and give birth to the new structures and systems, like the shared economy, which is such a beautiful new way of seeing what we already have, making a difference with it. There's so much beautiful stuff happening right now that I think if we put our attention on that, things really do shift.
We're talking with Lynn Twist. She's the author of The Soul of Money, Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Life. And Lynn, so far, you've been talking a lot about kind of the macroeconomic picture of the world. You know, money is power. We talked a little bit about one's personal relationship with money in your life. But I want to go back to that in a sense, because I don't want to walk away from this conversation with you thinking, well, isn't this great that Lynn Twist is taking care of this for us? Because I don't think that's really the solution you have in mind. I think what you're really suggesting is that we should all find ways to not only make that contribution to make the world a better place, but also to benefit from that contribution in our lives. So can you kind of describe how those of us who are out here listening, who are snapping up copies of your book, reading it, and then wondering, how do I help? What do I do? How do I be part of this movement? What do I do first?
Well, I think the first thing to recognize is that the money culture has a lot of suffering in it. You know, everybody suffers in their relationship with money, frankly. Everybody I've ever met, even the wealthiest families, there's a lot of suffering there, too. We think it's all glamorous and, you know, designer clothes and beautiful houses, but there's a lot of suffering in the wealthiest families on this planet. And, you know, there's a lot of addiction problems. There's a lot of abandonment issues. So money doesn't solve everything. And when we think that it does, we fool ourselves and we're ultimately always disappointed. And we think, well, if I just had a little bit more, everything would be fine. And then we get a little bit more and it's not fine. So we think, well, I just need a little bit more. And it's an endless chase. I don't mean to say that it isn't good to expand your income and your revenues and your company. I think it is good. But when it's coming from a belief in scarcity, when it's coming from lack, when it's coming from fear, actually, anxiety and suffering, which is what the money culture kind of produces, because in the money culture, there's this constant promise of, you know, kind of like heaven. If you get 30% more of this or 30% more of that, if we can just disconnect from that for a moment and pay attention, this is really quite personal, but pay attention to what you already have. Because we are so tied up in the chase for more that we sometimes step over and don't appreciate and don't actually pay attention to or make a difference with what we already have, whether that's money or our family or our health or our friends or our home. If you pay attention to what you have, if you turn your attention away from the chase for more, just for a second, just for a moment, and pay attention to what you have, realize how you're living in an incredible bounty, a bounty of love, a bounty of friends, a bounty of health, a bounty of well-being. You know, no matter what your financial circumstances are, no matter what your health circumstances are, there is so much to be grateful for. And you turn and pay attention to that, nourish it, love it, own it, and then share it. And then share it. It expands in your experience and right before your very eyes. I say the source of true prosperity is not more. It's the sufficiency and gratefulness of what's already there and sharing that with other people. You really don't have a sense of riches until you share them. Holding on to them doesn't really actually give you the experience of having them. There's a wonderful metaphor that I use that money's a lot like water. It moves all around this world through every life. For some people, it's a rushing river and a flood. For other people, it's a little trickle. But when we actually think of it like water, it's always flowing. It doesn't really belong to any of us. It belongs to all of us. And when we let it move naturally in and out of our lives in ways that are healthy for us, in ways that we're proud of, in ways that we feel good about, then just like water, when money's moving, it nourishes, it purifies, it makes things grow, it cleanses. But when we hoard it and hold on to it, it's greed and fear. Just like water, when it's held, it becomes stagnant and somewhat toxic to those who are holding it. And there's no joy in that. But when we share it, when we make a difference with it, when we use it in ways that we're proud of, when we know that what we have is coming to us in a way that we take care of ourselves and then we pass it on where it'll do the most good for the most people, and that's really the source of great philanthropy, there's a health and a well-being in that flow for everybody. And you don't need to be massively wealthy to be a philanthropist. The word philanthropy means love of humankind. Everybody is a lover of humankind. Everybody is a philanthropist in some way or another. So to actually recognize that what you have is precious and beautiful, yes, and you're grateful for it, when you share it, you have that sense of prosperity. So I say this other phrase, what you appreciate appreciates. What you appreciate appreciates. When you really pay attention to what you have, when you're grateful for it, when you see the great fullness of your life, that's the source of prosperity. And when you share it, that's the source of fulfillment. And so it's not that we shouldn't expand our revenues and our income and our companies, but to give a little bit more, I'd say a lot more appreciation and attention and gratefulness for what we have. That's where the wholeness, the experience of being taken care of, the experience of being prosperous really comes from, and particularly when we share it with other people.
Lynn, we have just a couple of minutes left, and this is a question that we ask a lot of people that come on this show, and it's certainly worth asking you this question, and I can imagine that there are a few things that would be on your mind, but what is it that keeps you up at night?
What is it that keeps me up at night? Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. One of the things that keeps me up at night, and this is because I work on global issues, is recognizing how to deal with global warming in a way that we don't think it's happening to us, that we're victims of it, but rather that it's happening for us. And when we see that it's happening for us, we will start using this crisis as an opportunity to come together as a human family as never before. But as long as we think it's happening to us, we're the victims of something, we're fighting over it, fighting about whether or not it's true, fighting it, when in fact it may be happening for us. So that's one thing that keeps me up at night, and that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking.
Lynn Twist, it was great to talk to you, author of The Soul of Money, Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Life. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a SolarC EMP-hardened solar generator. SolarC works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
So many of you that listen to the show have called me with your frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many, many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing, and he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Hey, Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was having, and you can't make a career out of that. The kind of blue collar skilled jobs where you could achieve a middle class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile. They're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies, and this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think, you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field, and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
Yeah, I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field, because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about the Republican side. It really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. What we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. We're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I think, you know, part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates. I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing, and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is, you know that too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America, and of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, you know, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, so like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, well, I'm going to make it in America, and they've done it quite successfully, from amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to flip-flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean you cover these too, and mm-hmm. we do on our blog. I mean there's almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones. And that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies. And it gets back to what we first started talking about, the incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, first of all, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do. And also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleship, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure, all of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right, I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.